Once again, Colton Bott, DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube. And now we're red.
Hey!
I'm talking to Colton. Having a good time already talking to Colton. Can you hear me okay, Colton?
I can hear you perfect, Dale. Can you guys hear me all right?
Earlier in the day with Mike Reed, and I just wanted to get on here and find out and indicate that I do know how to get this stuff done right. And so
if anyone is watching,
make sure to share the broadcast, get online, share. That's always a good thing to say. And there's so much good stuff going on and all this different stuff that I'm just so excited. And I want to hear, what's the latest Colton update?
Right now, we're just in the middle of a weight cut. We got some jiu-jitsu match Friday. It's going to be for the VLOX Fight League. It's Kronos Fight Night 3.
Okay, where is that going to be?
I believe that's in Olathe, Kansas. The tickets are on the VLOX Fight League bio. All you have to do is go to their Instagram or their Facebook or any of their social medias, and then from there you can purchase the tickets from Eventbrite. That'll be the link in there.
What is that called again?
It is, I believe it is VLOX Fight League is the social media, and you'll go on there, and in all their bios, you'll click on the link. The link is titled Eventbrite, and that's where you can buy your tickets. If you want to do it, last thing I heard, they told me in training tonight, of course, they said that tickets are flying off right now, so if you're going to do it, You got to click it.
Get it done, as we say.
Get it done. It's Friday, so, you know. We're training hard. We're working hard for it. We're going to put on a show. We're going to have some fun.
And so what about the Roku? What's the next thing we're going to do there?
All we're doing right now is we're just waiting to get the whole ball rolling on it. Eventually, we're going to have the actual – yeah, we've only been saying that for 2 years.
We also – we have Luke Benton on here, clearly.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got to talk to him yet. He was feeling a little bit under the weather. That's the last I heard from him. He was supposed to come up on Saturday and watch the UFC fights. He didn't get to. He's feeling a little under the weather, so he stayed at home.
Okay. He needs to come on here.
Oh, yes. Dale, I'll drag him on here, bro. It's going to be crazy, Dale. I'll drag him.
Yes,
I'll put him on here because we'll hear some good stories right there.
Well, that's what I feel. I've already told Colton some interesting gossip and news before we got on the broadcast, and we're just having fun. All this stuff is just so amazing, and watching all these things that are just all come together at the same time, just so beautiful.
I love it. It gets me amped, Dale. It gets me amped.
It definitely should.
For a reason.
Exactly.
For a reason.
That's why we came on, and that's why I'm taping every one of these so that we have like video and audio of how this stuff all got started, because this is a big deal and this is all happening and gonna happen. It's gonna be big.
Yeah. Once you get it rolling, Dale, you're gonna have to take them all off Facebook. Then we're gonna have to sell them. You know, that's how they're gonna be historic.
Right.
You're gonna have to sell. They're gonna be trying to make bootlegs of them. We're gonna be that nice.
Kelly Bott. That kind of impulse, let's say that. That's awesome.
They'll be making bootlegs of us.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Dan.
And let's just say that, again, it's so important to me because Kelly was such an important part of my childhood. And then getting to, like, come up and learn that he didn't get to see you wrestle. And the stuff that we get to do is so fun. Like, how cool is that?
It really is awesome because it sheds light on it all. Because people are really missing a piece of me since they didn't know my dad. They don't, you know, they just see this character, but they don't really know what it was molded from. And I really am it's my dad. That's what I am. And so I like to represent it any way I can.
Just a one of a kind character, like one of a kind. There was no one like Kelly.
I'm not even going to say it again. He would have been the famous one if he was still kicking right now. They wouldn't be talking about must-see TV. They'd be talking about KPTV. They'd be talking about
Well, that's the thing. Just anywhere he was, he made everyone's day brighter, and it was fun. And it was always fun. Every time you saw him, I can't think of one time that I saw him that was not just immediately better for having him there.
I mean, lights up a room, and to everybody, I mean, it wasn't an act. It carried on at home. As soon as he came through,
that's how he was every moment of every day.
It was real. It was authentic.
And what was so funny is when he came into the law office, the secretaries knew when I was in with Kelly because I was laughing. He was laughing heard outside the room and everything. Every day was funny. The stuff that he would come up with, and he was so good with bringing the same thing up that didn't make any sense, but it would make you laugh so hard.
I've never heard somebody listen so well and then bring everything full circle for a joke. It's like everything was a skit. I didn't get it. Yes. I would mumble something and he would use it against me, you know, 2 weeks later.
It really was. But this is just so tremendously fun, and I just love every moment. And I, again, love having you on here. Just awesome.
It's been an honor. And I thank you for getting the platform together and getting us all together. It's only going to expand from here. I'm excited to see what not only 2021 brings in this pro wrestling career, but just where this platform goes. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun. But I loved giving you that little bit of gossip and telling you how big this stuff all is. So let's.
I love it.
Always good to visit with the champ. DaleWallaceShow.com, also at YouTube. Let me tell you about Southern Gothic. I had written Sabotage in the summer of 2012. My friend Liz Giordano returned from Chile and was helping me get it published. We found out that the whole knock against self-publishing had totally gone by the wayside, and there was so much more to be done with self-publishing. We went back and found an old manuscript that I'd written called The Intern from 1995, and we decided that'd be a good one to start on, and so we actually published that first while we finished up Sabotage. Through that process, I got the interest of Italia Gandolfo, my wonderful agent, and she asked me the very reasonable question, what are you writing next? I had no answer for that. I had a week's vacation in Georgia planned, and so I thought, I'll go down to Georgia, I'll get something to write on, I'll decide what it's all going to be. Nothing happened. I sat there for a whole week, couldn't think of a thing to write about. It wasn't until I was headed back from Georgia all the way in Memphis, Tennessee. I was down at the pool watching my kids swim. I saw a lamp that looked like it was out of the Old South, and suddenly I came up with almost the entire concept of what Southern Gothic would be about all while watching my kids swim in Memphis, Tennessee. My son Matthew came up with the name Michael Black. My daughter, Sarah, was a huge influence. Mary is always around and always so, so delightful. When we got the idea for the thing, the whole plot poured on me. The first draft of it was written in less than 90 days. Here's a taste of the forthcoming audiobook, Southern Gothic, read by Peter Danbury.
The letter came to the bookstore Wednesday morning, postmarked Savannah. The stationery was expensive and regal, and although it was not embossed with any initials, it felt important. It was addressed to Ms. Meredith Harper, Southern Gothic Bookstore, in a powerful script, the angular letters formed with a fountain pen. The thick strokes of blue ink looked familiar to the recipient. She knew the handwriting, but couldn't place it. The envelope's inner lining was the same dark blue as the ink. She lifted the note card out gingerly, not wanting to smear any message. Dear M, I will call you today. An opportunity awaits. Yours forever. M. She thought about showing it to her assistant, Nate, but something stopped her. She liked the mystery. She probably should be a little more alarmed by such a personal letter, but she couldn't help being thrilled at the thought of a secret admirer and one who wrote her a letter. It felt like an entry into another world, one not marred by insistent emails and the soul-killing ping of never-ending text messages. On a day when she had much to do, it lifted her spirits and gave her a little secret to carry in her pocket.
Because there was something in the water in Springfield, Missouri.
Hey, don't forget me. I'm Brenda Lee, and we're all going to have fun tonight on Ozark Jubilee.
There you go.
To the Missouri Music Podcast, hosted by music fan and the founder of Slewfoot Records, Mr. Dale Wiley.
More of Mike Reed on Knee Deep in Rubber with Dale Wiley on The Dale Wiley Show, also on YouTube. What were some of your favorite older people in Crane? Let's talk about that for a minute. Some people that you liked.
Gee whiz. Well, it was kind of like the type of town you liked all the older people, really, because there just wasn't that many people there.
Right.
I mean, there was Doc Hackley.
Right. Love him.
The eye doctor.
Yes.
What was his name? Used to live down by you, the doctor there in town.
Oh, Dr. Womack. He lived right next door.
Dr. Womack. He was a character. Now
he was.
If you ever went to his doctor office, it was kind of like stepping back into science fiction or something, because he got a lot of old stuff.
Right.
They just looked like big radar guns or something. I don't know. You know, it was just. His doctor's office was kind of like a warehouse. I mean, you go in the, and there was a reception area, but he was the one at the reception area. Yeah, yeah, come on in. And then he takes you back down the hallway. Yeah, it was. And he was a very smart man if you ever took the time just to visit with him.
You know what's so funny? He was not a very fun neighbor. He kind of kept to himself, and his wife definitely kept herself. And what's so funny is that My friend Pete Gibson, who lived across the street, and he was so much fun, like just the best guy ever. And Pete Gibson talked about how Rusty Reel, who's another Crane memory, how Rusty Reel would come over to work on Dr. Womack's house, and Dr. Womack would fire him every Friday. And then Pete would have to go back and say, no, hire him for one more week. And just one week at a time.
Yeah, he was just out there. He kept to himself, kind of, because I think he just really didn't find any people that were on the same level where he was.
Exactly.
He was a different, like I said, he would visit with me the most if I had to go down there to his doctor office. And then I would start, I think he visited with me because I just don't shut up. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And I think he liked that. He just, but yeah, he's a Rusty Reel.
Right.
Oh my gosh, Henry Maples.
Loved him.
There was just a lot of people. Fern Myers.
Love Fern. Oh my gosh. Talk about Fern. What do you think about her?
Dolores and Benton Shively.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
That was my neighbors, and they were just super.
They sure were. And of course, their children were Chuck and David Shively.
Chuck and David, and well, they got two more,
right?
Terry and then David, he passed away here a few years ago.
Right, sure did. A great guy, and, definitely a great guy.
David was, he was awesome, you know. And David's one of those that he just decided he was going to move away, you know, go somewhere else and do something.
Right.
And I think he started out doing catering and stuff like that, and I mean at hotels and all. And he had worked himself up until good marketing stuff.
Right.
And we used to, every summer, me and Randy Bowling, we'd load up and we'd go to either Tulsa or St. Louis, or we'd go somewhere to drag races, the professional drag races.
Okay.
Chuck, we finally asked Chuck one time if he wanted to go. Oh, my gosh. You know, his parents, they go, we were their neighbors, and they said, okay. Man, Chuck thought he was in heaven, man. He is with the two older guys.
Right.
And we were in a van, a customized van that we were always doing those at the car lot. And right. We got lost and got over in East St. Louis on Saturday night after the races.
Oh, no.
I mean, and the transmission was on the thing, on the van, and it was sticking in like third gear. So, I mean, it was just, we couldn't stop because the motor, I mean, yeah, we just had to keep going. Not right. to mention the air. Man, we were getting in trouble for that, but we're the only three guys that looked like we did in the whole area. And we were in this van with all these bright colors on the side of it. And every street corner was just, I was just like the movies, man. It was just,
it sounds like
we thought, so we just ran all the stoplights, yeah. And it's, and Chuck, he had never been away from Crane, I don't think, and he was just freaking out. I go, I think we're going to have to run this one. Chuck would be like, yeah, yeah, run it, go, go, go. And, yeah, I mean, it was older people in Crane. I just try to think of course, all the Vaughts. I mean, all those guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the brothers that were around the same age as in Goob, right. Perry. And James and Dean was a little bit younger.
Goob.
There were seven or eight of them that were all around the same age.
Yes.
And they were, if you ever see these movies, small town, and you don't mess with one of them or do anything wrong to one because you'll have all eight or nine or ten of them all show up at your front yard. And I know of a lot of cases where things like that happen, you know. And right. and they just laugh about it. And Kenny.
Of course.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who all, there was a lot of course, Jack Swearingen, you know, yes, worked for the city. Cool. How about American Family Insurance?
Oh, Jack Fugit. Yes.
Yeah.
Jack is an amazing American, definitely.
Amazing. He'd come up and see my dad in the hospital.
Right.
And when he'd leave, he'd be out in the lobby or out in the hallway crying.
And right.
He'd be like, well, I came up here to try to cheer your dad up, and I'm bawling like a baby, and he's in there just laughing. And, yeah, it was, good gosh. Chuck Warren at the lumberyard. I spent a lot of time down there. I mean, that's where we built the insides of our bus and everything. And it's a town. I mean, you pretty much just knew everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I loved Minrose Quinn and her kids. They were another group that was just so fantastic. I love that house. Such a fun group of people.
Oh, yeah. Minrose, yeah. And all the kids, I mean, they were all just, yeah, they were all great. It was just a town where back in those, in my days, I think Blaine Hembry was the main cop in town. I figured out if you wanted to be a police officer in Crane, all you had to do was put a light on top of your car and, you know, maybe a magnet one that would stick there, and they'd give you a police shirt and a badge, and listen to this. We went, me and my dad and somebody and Blaine Hembry, might have been Raymond Lyer. We all went to the Shrine Mosque to wrestling one time.
He was a big fan of wrestling, definitely. Blaine Hembry was.
And this was the big time back then. It's what the big time would be now. And,
right.
And we had like seats two or three rows from the ring right down there. And all I remember is, back in those, in my days, this is a long time ago, there was one guy called the Spoiler, and he wore a mask, and he would take his hand and he put it on people's head and squeezed till they started bleeding. And he was a bad guy. And I remember that happened. And Blaine Hembry jumped up and took his folding chair and folded it and went after him, man.
Right.
He got, because the guy was leaving the ring and he took off after him. And
I Blaine think he stopped him. That's something I've heard about all the time. And one other thing, this is Kelly Vaught's birthday. And so another way to bring all this together, because
I saw that. Yeah. Happy birthday, right. Kelly.
Yes.
He's
in heaven. We know where he is. Definitely. Yep.
It is his birthday. There was some, I mean, Crane was a community that just kept up with people right around there. I mean, right. Your parents, you know, I mean, I knew your parents really good. Like you said, your mom was a teacher.
Right.
It was a community that everybody kind of worked together in the community when they'd have little street things downtown. I mean, the whole right. town would go together to do that. And
yes.
Gosh, I don't, man, Joy Johnson.
Right.
He was an awesome guy. And Teresa White. And
yes.
I start thinking of different businesses right. who ran them. And there was, who's the little lady? Gosh, this was before your time, where my dad had Chevrolet and then he had kind of behind it was the used car lot on the Parsons Cafe.
Oh, yes.
There used to be a Parsons Cafe and there's a little lady, I forgot her name. Everybody in town had their own coffee cup in there with their name on it. And it was one of the best places to eat, that right. and Jane and Eddie, J&E.
Oh,
Jane
yeah.
and Eddie's right up the edge of town. And it was just, maybe every town's like that, maybe, but it was definitely a fun town.
Definitely, definitely.
In those days, I was the only one trying to do music back in those days from Ukraine.
There wasn't a high class or low class. Everybody was in the same class of people.
It was.
You know.
Yeah, I can't really think of any people from there that everybody's like, oh, stay away from them. Oh, yeah, bad people.
Sure.
But it just wasn't there. Randy Stowe and his dad.
Right.
And mom. I've known them forever. Of course, I worked with Randy at Silver Dollar City for a long time. And the Kimeses.
Yes.
And the Kimeses, Jeff's folks were just too down to earth, normal, hardworking right. people, you know. Mr. Kimes, I don't think I ever seen him when he wasn't out in the yard or out doing something, you know, working on something, plowing this or cutting this
yeah.
or. And who else lived right on the street, right? Who lived right next to the Kimeses? Lefties had Lefties Plumbing.
Oh yes, Lefty Evans, yes.
Evans. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. And this is a little town, and when there was ball games, man, the gym was right. full. Yeah, that was something to do. And it brings back great memories. I mean,
yes.
We do this show at 4 o'clock of a day, and we talk a lot about Crane because Dale's right. from there and I'm from there. And we've kind of made the full circle now working together.
More on Crane in a second. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube. It's coming soon to a platform near you. The Travis Hughes Show. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
How are you, Travis?
Okay.
Well, it was very funny because last Friday we had a very good conversation. And for whatever reason, it did not come out on tape. And so tell me about the new show that you're going to do.
On COVID?
No, on your show. Tell me about your show.
On my show, I just want to speak Bible and the truth of Christ.
Okay, that's a wonderful idea. And you're going to help me help you learn how to do this stuff. Is that right?
Yes.
That's wonderful. What are you going to call it? The Travis Hughes Show?
Yes.
Okay, let's give that out and give me some kind of idea of what the people can look for.
If you follow Jesus, you will go home to be with him someday and read the Bible and pray every night.
That's wonderful. Now, give me a good cheer like you did the other night for the television show.
The text?
Yes. Tell me what it's about. Like
the coming of Christ.
Okay. That's wonderful. Now, do like you did the other night and take me home. Take us out.
All right. Just look up, my people. Jesus is coming. Be ready for the hour. The signs are here. The fulfillment is being fulfilled.
That is awesome. And take us home on the Travis Hughes Show.
Well, just come back and you'll hear some more good old time preaching.
That's right. That's amazing. And thank you so much. We're getting it all up and running. I'll talk to you very soon this week.
If anyone wants to be a guest or sponsor Travis's podcast, tell me about it. DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube, and email me at DaleWileyShow@gmail.com. Let me tell you about Southern Gothic. I had written Sabotage in the summer of 2012. My friend Liz Giordano returned from Chile and was helping me get it published. We found out that the whole knock against self-publishing had totally gone by the wayside, and there was so much more to be done with self-publishing. We went back and found an old manuscript that I'd written called The Intern from 1995. And we decided that would be a good one to start on. And so we actually published that first while we finished up Sabotage. Through that process, I got the interest of Italia Gandolfo, my wonderful agent. And she asked me the very reasonable question, what are you writing next? I had no answer for that. I had a week's vacation in Georgia planned, and so I thought, I'll go down to Georgia, I'll get something to write on, I'll decide what it's all going to be. Nothing happened. I sat there for a whole week, couldn't think of a thing to write about. It wasn't until I was headed back from Georgia, all the way in Memphis, Tennessee. I was down at the pool watching my kids swim. I saw a lamp that looked like it was out of the Old South. And suddenly I came up with almost the entire concept of what Southern Gothic would be about, all while watching my kids swim in Memphis, Tennessee. My son Matthew came up with the name Michael Black. My daughter Sarah was a huge influence. Mary is always around and always so, so delightful. When we got the idea for the thing, the whole plot poured out on me. First draft, it was written in less than 90 days. Here's a taste of the forthcoming audiobook, Southern Gothic, read by Peter Danbury.
The letter came to the bookstore Wednesday morning, postmarked Savannah. The stationery was expensive and regal, and although it was not embossed with any initials, it felt important. It was addressed to Ms. Meredith Harper, Southern Gothic Bookstore, in a powerful script, the angular letters formed with a fountain pen. The thick strokes of blue ink looked familiar to the recipient. She knew the handwriting, but couldn't place it. The envelope's inner lining was the same dark blue as the ink. She lifted the note card out gingerly, not wanting to smear any message. Dear M, I will call you today. An opportunity awaits. Yours forever. M. She thought about showing it to her assistant, Nate, but something stopped her. She liked the mystery. She probably should be a little more alarmed by such a personal letter, but she couldn't help being thrilled at the thought of a secret admirer and one who wrote her a letter. It felt like an entry into another world. One not marred by insistent emails and the the soul-killing ping of never-ending text messages. On a day when she had much to do, it lifted her spirits and gave her a little secret to carry in her pocket.
For more with Mike's memories of Crane, Missouri, DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
And it, but I wanted to say hi, Janelle, in case she's watching.
There we go. Awesome.
Yeah, she Janelle, let me say, let's see, what could I do if she's watching? She was the kindest, most sincere lady I ever knew.
I love that.
Sounds like I'm faking it, but she was. She was just kind, you know, I don't know how she actually taught school and put up with kids, because
she actually talked about what position it was, if she was before or after the Fanny Spankin teacher. Which one was that?
The which one?
The one that smacked you so hard in the butt.
You know, I don't know.
I just think that's interesting, because that's an awful story. That is a very interesting story that I'm really sorry that any Crane student had to put up with that. That was
Well, my dad went to the school board.
Right.
And in fact, I think I had to go and pull the back of my pants down and show them the whelps across my, even if I was a kid at school and I got paddled for something, man,
yeah.
This guy had a board with a handle on it, and it was big, right. And man, he hit me. The whole classroom was just like, and I was always in school. I was, man, not a ringleader, but I was one of all the young kids follow me and all, yeah. You know, I was just always out. I mean, I've been the same person my whole life, where I talk all the time and subjects just, it's just been me. I was the same way in school. And yes. So I think this guy was just trying to prove a point or something. But
it's horrible point, though. That's horrible.
Yeah, my friends were going, man, I'm glad when he asked me if I'd had a spanking in school before. I'm glad I said no. I said, well, you know, I was just, no, they said yes. I just had him go, no, I ain't never had one. Well, get up here.
Well,
sounds like his name might have been Curtis, Mr. Curtis. Right. He's a big guy, and he sat in his chair all day. And he was from, I think he's from down around Cape Fear somewhere. And he got canned. He should have got canned. I mean, whether it was me or whoever.
Because what I know is when I was in school, the big spanker was Mr. Reedus from Marionville. Billy Reedus, and he was an amazing teacher, but he came in, there was a teacher that started the seventh grade year, I was in sixth grade, and Mr. Reedus came in, and the teacher that started that seventh grade year, she got run off, like literally, they ran her off, and so Mr. Reedus he was just out of school, and he came over and he said, I can tell you one thing, you're not going to run me off. And so he was a wonderful teacher, but he laid down the law and he made sure that everybody knew that he was in control, definitely.
Well, we talk about teachers. Bob Conrad was kind of that way. He made sure you knew that he was the boss and he was in charge, but he had a real fun side to him, right. Too. I mean,
but I got to say, Reedus was in a different class all to himself. I love that guy, but he was in control in that junior high classes.
We had, I had some math teacher. I only remember where the room was in the school.
Right.
I forget who she was, but you're in a small school.
Right.
And if you don't want to go to class, you can find a way to just do something and, I missed that class.
Exactly.
I mean it, and I tried to miss her class every chance I got, and then I've had dreams about that in the past where I was not going to her class, and she's going, well, I'm going to have to give you an F on your report card because you're never here. But I told you we had an English teacher, and her name was Goodall.
Right.
She was young, and she wore a lot of makeup. Couldn't believe she would have probably been one of those people that you hear all the stories on TV about the teacher and the student, you know, having an affair or something. But she was, She was just so cool. And she's the one I went to English for, or whatever. I went in there one day, and I was just the ringleader. I said, I've never had anybody put makeup on me where I look like Kiss. She goes, really? You've never had makeup on? No. I go, do you got any here? Well, yeah, here. Come here. Sit down here. Sit down in the chair. She goes, now y'all watch this. And by the time the class is over, I think she did Ace Frehley. I'm not sure which one. But I was all painted up, and it looked pretty good, but I had to go to the next class.
Right.
And next day, she's like, you just did that so we didn't have to study yesterday, didn't you?
Right.
I go, no, that's not why, no. But right. That's what I told her. But, you know, I am the president of the class, and I have been for 4 years. And I've got possession of, or I can get it with the snap of the fingers, of the key to the concession stand. And
right.
It's full of candy bars and soda pop.
Right.
If you want us all to go down there and have class inside the concession stand, because it's all shut up, you know, nobody will know we're there.
Right.
She goes, are you serious? I go, yeah. She goes, let's go. Everybody be quiet. Let's go down the hallway. Okay, we go down. I swear I should have had an office there because I was.
That's one thing we both had. We both had that time of ruling the school, and that was so much fun. Definitely. A fun time, 15 years apart.
Wow. That's crazy. And the town didn't really change.
Not much.
Because I lived right up the hill. And, you know, I lived during the time when every summer the city council would vote on getting a swimming pool or not. And we never, I remember we'd miss it by three votes. And
right.
We'd miss it by 5 votes. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And then the year came, it actually passed. And
right.
We, man, that was like celebration. And built the pool right down the street from where I lived. And of course, we just bought a pass for the year, and it opened at maybe noon or 1 o'clock every day of my life in the summer.
Right.
Boom. Me and my friends were at the pool. And we stayed there till close tonight. And it had a jukebox in it with some speakers that would crank up. And I remember this one guy ran the pool. He goes, you guys want to play some tunes? We go, yeah. Just go in there in the cash register, open the door, just get out some money, put in the jukebox. And we would just, man, we would just play music loud and dance and party. And then he'd be like, you guys hungry? Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get some candy bars. What kind of guys like? He just, I'm like, this guy must have probably got fired because he's, I mean, he let us go get in the cash register and get money out, you know? So it was.
Did you ever have Gladys Lane as a teacher? Who was that before your time?
Mrs. Lane?
Yes.
I think she was a little bit before me.
I think so.
She was more like the Gary Chastain and those guys.
Right.
I think
sure.
because I know the name.
Right.
And
she lived right down the hill from me on the other side, so that's why I'm asking. She lived the street I live on is called Lucas Lane because Port Lucas and Willis Lane were the two people that donated land. That's such a cool story.
Yeah, that was. Well, I was talking about that English teacher I had. She lived.
Right.
She lived right down the street from your house.
Right.
They had a couple little trailer houses set back in there a long time ago. She rented a little trailer house, kind of on the corner before you come up to the main drag there to go down. Yeah, that's where she lived, and we had her, and you could tell she was just, bless her heart, she was a party animal pretty much, I think, and she was like, I think in her head, it was like, well, I'm stuck here in this little town at Crane, what, you know, and her and a music teacher I had, too, she was awesome, but I couldn't imagine some of these people that went to college and all this and wanted to get a job teaching, and they were in a little town like Crane or Hurley or, but there's a lot of towns. I mean,
where you started.
Huh?
That's where you started. Definitely.
Yeah, I was so glad though. I mean, I thought it was, I moved there in sixth grade and,
right.
That's why I said, you know, that's why I said, whenever I went to, school, my science, one time we had to go get specimens for science. And I had this science teacher. He was real cool, a little skinny guy. And right. and he said, let's all get in cars. And we went up to that up above where the swimming pool is. Used to be a real old folks home up there or something. I don't know what it was.
Residential care center.
Right. Yeah, we thought it was. It's the real old one I'm talking about. Red brick, third floor story. Yeah. We thought it was haunted and stuff like that. But we went there to find bugs and stuff for science class. And those are the easiest days of our lives, man, back in those days.
Definitely the most fun. And so this is the Deep and Rubber, and tomorrow we'll have new stuff to show you. Definitely.
Hey, you know, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but my friend Tracy, my good friend, Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Yes, I talked to him yesterday. I sent him your link. I said, out there it'd be 3:00. I said, hit the link you sent me. I go, just hit that link.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, we got somebody else on here, you know. and he is going, man, this would be a blast.
Yeah.
You can come on there tomorrow as much as you want. Because, he was, he's a great friend. And he begs me all the time to come out and live in Steamboats, live out there. Yeah, bring your mom. It'll all be good.
Okay. That's tomorrow on Knee Deep in Rubber. We'll see you on Friday. All kinds of surprises coming. DaleWiseShow.com, also on YouTube.